Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program. Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Needs to be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Hey America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We're live and ready to go. Good morning, everyone. Looks like we had a little telephone number glitch there for a second. So all at once, we're on here live and in living color again here from the historic Clay County Courthouse. Right here at 100 Courthouse Square in Salina, Tennessee. In case you're wondering, that's just smack dab in the middle of all this. And I've got a couple of interesting folks sitting here with me this morning. We're just going to just have a little roundtable discussion of some kind or other. We may wander off in all kinds of different directions. But before we do, I want to remind everyone that we will be giving away a Dairy Queen birthday and anniversary cake here in just a little bit. And we'll read those names off in a few minutes, and we've got some interesting things to talk about. I have got one, I guess I've got one public service announcement or thing to read here. A gentleman came in a minute ago and said he had some cattle missing, and he wanted to know if I would tell everyone about his missing cattle, and hopefully he can get them back. And this is down in the Knob Creek area, and there are Romangus. I don't know what kind of breed that is. And it says there's a yearling black bull, a 4 to 5 year old black bull, two black heifers with the yellow ear tag, numbers 10 and 9. And they've gone missing and hadn't come back home. And if you've seen them wandering around anywhere, call Bill Parson at 615-639-1030. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just here in a minute.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
No.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. We're still here. We're getting ready. I've got Dick Buford and Kevin Dawson sitting here with me this morning, and we've got some things we're going to talk about. I know Mr. Buford's going to talk about a publishing project he's been working on for quite a while, and with Kevin, I know Kevin's, he's got a new hat he's wearing now. He's got a little, a media, not what I'm going to say little, but he's got a media business started. And of course, Kevin's been around the, journalism, industry in this area for, since he's a little bitty feller, I reckon. And we got some things we want to talk about. We're back after last Thursday when the whole town vacated to, go down to Murfreesboro, but once again, we had a short trip. We've got to get by that first game jinx here one of these days. And, of course, I always thought, you know, if you get there often enough and long enough, eventually you're going to win the thing, but you got to get there. And once again, we did get our name in the program, which is a major accomplishment when the, I guess, the Class A basketball in the state of Tennessee gets weeded down from about 130-something, I guess, isn't it, Kevin, down to 8.
Something like that, yeah.
But, of course, the sad part about these things is that out of all of those folks, 130-something coaches, only the last one gets to win his last game, and it won out of all that bunch. Everybody gets disappointed except that one guy, but it's really not a disappointment. I always, you know, if you get your name and picture in the program, you have really accomplished something. And everything after that is just gravy on the biscuit.
Thomas, I was wondering about something. You'd be the person to answer this. I know the guys won, and Coach Edwards' team won 30 games this year. Now, to my recollection, that is only the fourth time in the history of the county that's been accomplished. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I know with 3 years of teams that I was lucky enough to coach back in the 80s, we actually won, I don't know, about a 100-something while losing, I think, maybe 3 or 4 ball games, which was a tremendous feat. And, of course, that team, I know folks still talk about it, and I guess even though we didn't win the state tournament, we did reach legendary status, I guess, because after all those years since 1985, folks still remember it. But now we've had some great teams the past few years once again, and, you know, that's something from my thinking on this is when you get a coach that's willing to stay somewhere for a number of years, that you are going to have a winner. You know, you may not the first few years, but it is going to happen eventually, because you look at some of the major schools now, that the coaches that jump around, you know, the flash in the pan, they may have a couple of good years, and then they'll hire a little guy from Podunk Tech out in somewhere or another, he'll have a great season, and one of these big schools will hire him. And, of course, the first thing he realizes is he's gotten in over his feet, and he disappears from the landscape after a few years. But the guys, well, like Jim Boeheim up at Syracuse, been there forever and ever. And, of course, I really like him because I hate you getting me started on things like this. I really like him because all the years that I coached, I tried to play a variation of the 2-3 zone, and everybody said, you know, you can't win with that. And then the three-point shot came in, and everybody said, well, there goes Jim Boeheim. He's done. He can't play zone no more. Well, I think I heard the other night on one of the announcers say that Syracuse, out of their 2-3 zone, defends the three-point shot. They're number one in the nation this year on defense of the three-point shot out of the zone. But so you get me off on these things, but got enough. All right, go ahead.
I'll get you off on something else. I remember during that streak in the 80s that you were talking about when I think we won like 105 or 6 games and lost like Campbell. But as that streak came to an end, I think maybe the next season after that, we were playing somebody in the district out at the old gym, and we lost. And I remember the visiting team, whoever it was, and I don't remember celebrating like they've won a state championship. And I thought, well, now what's going on here? And then I realized that was the first district game that the Bulldogs had lost in close to 90 games,
yeah,
as I recall.
I think we went four years maybe and didn't lose a game. I'm not real sure on that.
It was an incredible streak.
And
it really was.
I know there was one streak that I may not ever be, I guess, changed, and that was I think we went 15 seasons against our rival down in Macon County, Red Boiling Springs, and didn't lose a game against them in 15 seasons. And I thought, you know, that's a whole bunch of kids to come through. But
sure is.
Well, all right, now, let's see.
Thomas, I want to say one thing about the team. And yes, I was at State when we lost that game. But these young men that played on this team showed the greatest sportsmanship of any team I've seen come from Clay County. And a lot of the other teams noticed that too.
You know, I was associated with some of these kids when they were in junior high. And it's one of the finest group of young citizens we've got coming up. You know, there are some stars on this team, but you wouldn't know it just by the way they, other than what they do, but when they get out there between those lines, I mean, they're outstanding young men. And it's just, you know, something we've grown to expect from our athletes in Clay County. We don't, you know, our folks, we really don't like people that don't show sportsmanship in sports, because that's something that a community can really, really be proud of. Okay, let's see. A couple of little short announcements here. I know Susan called in and said to mention, and we'll get a flyer out on this hopefully next week, and that is the Lions Club Motorcycle Rodeo is coming up April the 9th. That's one of their major fundraisers, along with the truck and tractor pull that they're doing now since our horse shows have trotted off into the horizon. We're trying now to get some newer things started. And a couple of things here in the county. I know last Thursday the Commissioner of Tourism was up here, and I think I told Mr. Ray over at the Clay, he picked a bad day to come when the whole county had gone to Murfreesboro. But he said they had a great day, visited a bunch of the marinas, he was impressed, and hopefully that he'll be impressed enough to where we can get some attention focused on Clay County.
Thomas, at the Tech Ready conference back in early February, Commissioner Triplett, I'm hoping and thinking is his last name.
Yes, it
was.
Is.
There speaking, and of course they've developed something through the years, these driving trails that are all connected by a theme. We've got a couple that run through Clay County, Civil War and maybe another one. They've got another one of those planned that's going to touch literally all 95 counties. Now, I'm sure they discussed that a little bit, but it is a music trail, and they will be looking for a theme in each county or a person or a couple of folks to tie into that driving trail all over the state. That's something that'll be exciting and hopefully draw a lot of people to the county.
Well, I wonder if Mr. Bud Garrett's name was mentioned in that.
Well, it was by Clay County in attendance, yes, absolutely.
I know that would be a great theme, you know, a blues theme here in Clay County. And I know, I guess up at Berea College up in Kentucky, they do have some archives of some of his work. And somewhere among all of my junk, I think I may have an old single record of Bud singing. I'm going back to Cordele, I believe, maybe when he was working I think he worked a little around Buford's bait shop, and they've got a shop down in Georgia, down in Cordell, Georgia, and he would ride the trucks down there, and he I guess put that together and sang it one night coming back from down there or something. But let's see, you know, you said the Commissioner of Tourism is here, and also our education system has received a tremendous accolade by the fact that the Commissioner of Education is going to be here and be the main speaker for graduation this year. So we're looking forward to that. I do know that our high school is, of course, one of the prime choice high schools in the state right now, and we're on the top of that. So, you know, it looks like, you know, we're looking up around here, aren't we, fellas?
Yeah, for sure.
And Thomas, I talked to Melissa yesterday. Commissioner's only going to go at one graduation in the state of Tennessee, Clay County School.
So that is a tremendous accolade, isn't it? Okay, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back here just in a few minutes after we get in a few words from our sponsors.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. We're back here in the little corner office here that used to be the, I guess this is the circuit court clerk's office where folks used to come by and pay their fines and tickets. And occasionally someone still comes by. And if you want to come by and pay your ticket here, your fine, it'll be great, but I only accept cash. And I have had a few to come in and knock on the door. Maybe a couple of times even during the radio show with their money in the hand and ready to pay their ticket. But we have to send them down to the community center now where the office is now located. But some folks still don't realize that all the county offices have moved. And also occasionally, about any time that we come by and someone sits out in front of the courthouse, there will be someone come through here from Indiana or Ohio or somewhere another who's either parents or grandparents got married in this courthouse. And if there's someone here, we'll try to open the doors and let them come in and walk around, and they'll share memories of what their folks told them about the day they got married here. And I usually tell most of them I don't know what all the – if the – the county the county judge, if he married you here, I don't know what the ceremony was like, but I could probably tell you what the last sentence was, and that would be I pronounce you man and wife. That'll be $5.
It would be interesting to know how many hundreds of people were actually married here or outside. In addition to our, well, still want to call them county mayors, county judges, or county executives, that office has a bunch of titles. A lot of the JPs married folks.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And, well, actually, we had a great choice here. If you'll remember, I believe we had the Burnett brothers that owned some stores on the corner over here, and one of them was a Church of Christ preacher, and I believe the other brother was maybe a Baptist minister. So you could get Church of Christ or Baptist on that corner. And I believe over to the direction we're sitting now, to our right, where there's a store sitting now, there was a Methodist church there. And usually there would be someone there at the Methodist church that would marry you, or you could get a civil ceremony. And I think at one time when you came into the, county court, the county court clerk was in the room next door to here. I know a number of years that there, and even at one time we had a little package that he would give the folks. It had little packages of the vending type washing powders and that kind of thing, and he would give them directions on where to go if they wanted to get married and what kind of ceremony they wanted.
And I remember,
I'm sorry, Rick, go ahead.
And I remember, Thomas, when I was in high school here and I worked for the newspaper, they'd ask me to come take pictures. And they'd call me, and they'd go to the florist shop over here and get the flowers, and they'd do a whole package deal here, right here at the courthouse.
But and like I said, there are just, it's amazing how many people do come by. And I know I have let people in from as far away, I think it's Oregon, that came back here to where their parents had gotten married in Clay County. Well, let's see, what are we going to talk about first? You want to talk about the... Your book you're working on?
Yes.
Let me introduce yourself and tell us about you.
My name is Rich Buford. I'm with the American Legion Post here, Post 18. I'm this year's post commander. And last year we started a project to collect photographs of veterans in Clay County. And we started this project because there has never been a book published with photographs of the veterans of Clay County. And so we started the process, and we asked everyone to submit photographs of their relatives that served in any branch of the military. And we've asked for photos all the way back to the Civil War. And as of today, we have over 1,000 photos that have been submitted. And we actually have some photos of people going all the way back to the Revolutionary War here in Clay County that served in some branch of the United States military. And it's a really rich history, and we're getting a lot of great photographs. Now, we're going to... Today's the last day for the collection of these photographs. And in this process, we have decided to start a virtual library here in Clay County. It's going to be at the high school and at the library where people can continue to contribute photographs and the history of their family members that served in World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and Iraq and Afghanistan. And they can submit this, and what we're going to do is we've already set up boxes and folders. We'll gather this information, and then family members in the future can come and research what their relatives did while serving in the military. And it's a rich heritage. I'm very glad that we finally started working on this, and we're going to be finishing this. And then we're also going to do a slideshow, and we're going to put that hopefully on a TV in the community center in the future. And that way people can come down and see members and the rich heritage of the people that served in the military here in Clay County.
Rick, back to the book. Tell us a little bit about the format. What's it going to look like, basically?
It's going to be an 8x10 book. We haven't decided if we're going to have a hard cover or a soft cover. We're going to take all these photographs. Our collection process is ending today, but we're going to start formatting it. But we haven't decided if we're going to print it in black and white or color. We are taking pre-orders for this book, $10. If you wait until they come here, they'll be $20. And we are going to order 2,000 books. And then at a later date, if we need to order more, we will.
Okay. Kevin, you're on the black and white and the color. You know, sometimes with books like this, I know it's color photography, of course, I mean, you know, it didn't exist when some of these pictures were made. And it's kind of hard to balance it once you, if you say color and then you can't do color for everyone. But then again, you know, those pictures are tremendous for the air, aren't they, Rich?
Some of them are just gorgeous, especially a lot of the early color pictures from World War II. The submissions have been wonderful. And, you know, when we have this all together, I think everybody's going to be very impressed with what we have.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about I don't know what you would call the corner over at the library. I'm not real familiar with this heritage corner. We've actually got a corner over there now that Are either one of y'all familiar with the material that we have over there now in the library for family research here in Clay County?
I've not seen it. No, I couldn't comment on it.
Thomas, I've seen it. It's very rich. In that Heritage Corner, they have annuals from our high school going back to the early days. They have documents going back to the 20s and 30s. They have a rich heritage on the Willow Grove community. And the librarian that we have, she is wonderful. She continues collecting things that people bring in, and it's there open to the public, and it's very rich with the history of Clay County.
Okay, and I know Kevin and I were talking a few minutes last night about this, the oral history of Clay County, that we need to transmit that thing over to either some audio recordings or some written stories. You know, we're getting to the point now where, you know, in this day and time, we don't have the characters out in the rural communities like we used to have. And I know we can sit here and we can just name off name after name after name, and we can remember our parents and grandparents telling us stories about these guys. And, you know, those folks are not going to be with us because we're not going to be around another 100 years either. And, you know, even our age, a lot of the things that we need to start getting this down where it can be preserved for future generations, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've reached a point in time where we have never had more mediums and venues by which we can record the past, but we're collectively obviously not doing as good a job as we could. You know, it's just a matter of I guess, rolling up our collective sleeves and diving into it. But there's so much available to us to do that. But like you say, every year that goes by, every decade that goes by, that's going to be lost if we don't record it in some way.
I know we've got, I guess, I kind of think of him sometimes as an unofficial folklorist for here, and that's Kenzie Adams. Seems like, you know, he delves into a lot of family history and is truly interested in it. I know a lot of his family, and, of course, we all had those characters in our family. You know, we all had I know the little story of my Uncle Bob Watson, who helped float the logs down to Nashville on the log rafts. And according to the story that I have, I have the shotgun that he rode the raft down and carried it back from Nashville, because they would ride the rafts down there, and folks, they had to get back to Salina, and they walked back.
Right.
They rode down, worked all the way down, collected their paycheck, and walked home. I mean, that's I know there are lots of stories that have been saved, but there are just so many, many more. You know, and even sitting around the square here, if we looked around and we find the people, they can tell you where all the old hotels were sitting, where the church buildings were sitting. I remember the Clay County Library building that was in a white house set here on the corner where the service station, used to be a service station, across from David Arnett's there was the county library. And look around, we hear people talk about Boston's Cafe. And we've seen some of the old menus and stuff like that. But, you know, are we writing that stuff down, or are we saving it and collecting some of the pictures before they're gone?
Well, that's why several of us decided to get this history book going last year. And one of the things in the collection, many people that I knew growing up, Mr. Charlie Fred, here, I did not know he was a World War II veteran who went to Sicily in the invasion. And the photos that we collected of him as a young man show more character than I can imagine.
Let's take a little short break here, and I guess we need to earn a little bit of money if we're going to keep this thing going every week. So we'll take a break here and get some commercials in, and we'll be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care.
Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. I've still got both these guys here with me. They haven't abandoned me yet. But, you know, we were talking about some of the characters here. I had the pleasure of working with one of our local characters for a number of years. He was considered probably one of the grumpiest men in Clay County. He worked the night shift up Cedar Hill Boat Dock for years and years and years, named Billy Barlow. And I think he chewed the same cigar for about 20 years. And it was his job to run us out of the parking lot up there after a certain time. But after I returned from college and went and started teaching, of course, most teachers in those days had to have a second job. So I worked up at Cedar Hill in the night shift in the summers and had the pleasure of just, you know, learning about him, sitting talking to him. And as we were talking a minute ago about Charlie Fred Andrews being a veteran of World War II. Billy was also a veteran of World War II, and he actually served in Italy during the Anzio. And I know if any of y'all have ever seen any film of that, I know the old black and white army pictures, which you can still see on YouTube today, one of the most brutal foot marches ever been through the mountains, and then you go from mountains to open fields through machine gun nests. And I know he served on that, but, you know, with a lot of veterans, they had to know you a long time before they would sit down and tell you some of those stories. And, you know, and some of the things that, you know, they told, even it makes you cringe even today, the hardships that they actually went through. And, you know, I personally, we're talking about all the modern media we have today. It makes you wonder, in World War II, if we'd have had CNN on the beaches at Normandy, filming that live, you know, live back to the United States, you know, the reception that would have been among the general public if they actually knew and saw all of the bloodshed that day and the great numbers of thousands of young American men that, you know, that never made it to the shores there. And, of course, that's a difference in the day and time because you know, that was, if you ever get a chance, go to YouTube sometime and pull those films up and look at them. But, you know, as far as Billy being a character, I remember one distinct thing. This is really why he was kind of funny, but Dale Hollow Lake, of course, being the smallmouth capital of the world, we used to attract some of the big-time, when they first started, some of the big-time fishing contests. And they had a thing they called the shotgun start in those days. The boats would all line up on the starting line, and someone would shoot us a starter gun, and they'd all take off fishing. Well, Billy thought it'd be kind of funny if he eased out there about 20 minutes before starting time and got the old 38 pistol out and fired it up in the air. Well, he did. Well, boats took off in every direction on Dale Hollow Lake, and none of the officials from the bass contest were there, and, of course, needless to say, they really weren't pleased when they got down there and all the boats were gone.
And there weren't any cell phones to call everybody back with in those days.
One of the few times I'd say that the official starting time really wasn't that official, but I do remember that one. And I know we have just all kinds of people named. I know one name that I always remember, Poodle Raines, who was a fiddle player here in the county, I believe. You know, if we can, you know, get some of their folks that are still around that can remember some of the stories, they would have dances. And, of course, any time you had a dance, there'd be a fight breakout, and somebody would rescue somebody. But, you know, all of those stories, we need to save those things if we can. And, I don't know exactly how we do it. I know once upon a time that I had a folklore class that we had a gentleman named Saul Kareem that came in here, I think I'm not sure where his parents were from, but he was an extremely wealthy young man, and he had a grant from the National Arts Commission. And we went out and filmed stories of people here in Clay County. Rich, you may have been in school then. I guess maybe Ronnie was in my class. I think he actually participated in that. We probably did, they probably did the first interview with Dumas Walker that had ever been done. And this was back like in the early 80s, where they went out and interviewed him about the marble playing. And I don't know how we go about it. We probably try to do it through the high school. But it's something I think we need to look at seriously.
Well, Thomas, everybody's cell phone now has video capability, and I would encourage everyone that's listening today, take time with your grandparents. Listen to their stories that they'll tell you about taking logs down the river to Nashville, or coming into your house and you counting the number of people to know how many people you had to cook breakfast for in the morning. But record that and then get it to the librarian here, or get it to Miss White, or to the Clay County Museum. That's our heritage, and it's very important to preserve it.
And how many of you all, between the three of us, sit here, remember your grandmother, when she'd get all the grandkids around, one of her joys was to tell you guys a bunch of scary stories. And they're kind of like fairy tale stories, or some of them probably were even variations of some of Grimm's fairy tale, but they would kind of adapt them to fit. And I think we've lost a lot of those things, but a lot of them are still out there in people's minds if we can get it on something that everybody else can see.
All right, be great.
Thomas, I think now we've, again, got all these ways to communicate, but in many ways we do a poorer job of communicating than we ever have. You know, we've got devices to do it with, but we don't do near as much face-to-face or sitting on the porch or gathered around a fire in the backyard or something as we used to do. Too many distractions now.
Yes, there are. And, you know, and it, of course, this is the age of where so many young people talk with their fingers instead of with their mouths. And of course now grandma and grandpa don't understand that. They still want to sit there and talk to you. And you know, I know a number of I talk to some grandparents sometimes, and you know, keep saying, well, my grandkids won't answer the phone. And I said, well, they don't talk anymore. I said, you know, I guess if they're not going to change over to your style, you're going to have to change over to theirs and try texting. Of course, most of them don't want to do that.
Right.
They still enjoy hearing that voice on the other end. But most of our young folks had rather just send you a couple of sentences in text, and because they really, you know, in their lives, they don't feel they've got the time to sit and talk. They, because I know we've seen the youngsters sitting next to each other texting each other instead of turning around and asking. But, well, hey, looking at the clock, we might all take another little short break here. So let's do that. Let's get in a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Did you know that there are medical grants available for families struggling with child health-related expenses? The United Healthcare Children's Foundation is currently seeking grant applications from families in need of financial assistance to help pay for their child's healthcare treatments, services, or equipment not covered or not fully covered by their commercial health insurance plan. Parents and legal guardians may apply for grants up to $5,000 at www.uhccf.org. This has been a public service message from the United Healthcare Children's Foundation.
Welcome back, everyone. I guess we need to read off our names for our birthday and anniversaries today. We've got a rather short list today, folks. You're missing your chance. Somebody today's got a 1 in 3 chance of winning a cake. And I know their odds are pretty good, but we'd rather be like about a 1 in 12 or 15. So don't forget, call in to 243-5574. And I know you get reminded anytime you're over on 101.5 WVFB, Kicks Country. And call in. And here you will get the answering machine. And, of course, you need to speak slowly and clearly. And leave a name and number in case we can't understand what you've said, and we can give you a call back. But we need some more folks calling in. And also now you can send an email to courthouse@info-ed.com. Now, that is the email account that says courthouse here. And if you don't like to talk to people, just shoot us an email in here. But today we have three names on here, Colton Sherrill and Justin Haney, and also Mr. Mickey Clemens celebrating a birthday, I believe, today. And this is from his daughter, Cherry Ann. And we'd like to wish these folks a happy birthday, but we wish we had a bunch more. But like I said, one of these is going to have a 1 in 3 chance of winning a birthday cake here in a few minutes, which we'll draw out toward the end of the program. Okay, now let's get back to talking about some things here. And, you know, another thing that comes to mind, I was talking a minute ago about some of the big national fishing tournaments when they first started. I think, of course, Billy Westmoreland brought them in here. He was one of the top dogs in the fishing circuit for a number of years. But also back a number of years ago, we had national boat races here. I think we had some outboard boat racing, and also I remember maybe we had the outlaw class of racing here once upon a time. Kevin, do you remember anything about that? Or?
Well, Rick and I were talking. We both literally just seen pictures of the old boat races, but to think that we hosted a national championship of some kind here is a no small feat, but I think you said you actually remember going to those.
Yeah, I remember going up and trying to get down to Cedar Hill, and folks were backed up just about all the way to Salina trying to get in up there. And I think part of that had to do with, I guess, Mr. Jack Eby Dale.
Mr. Dale was involved in that some capacity.
And on the Clay Theater here in Salina.
Right.
We could talk about that a few minutes.
Absolutely.
While we're here. We'll come back to that here just in a second. But I do remember as a youngster, I was kind of into hot rod motors and things like that. And I remember his boat, that he had a little boat that, I don't know, maybe 14, 15 foot long, that had a Chevrolet V8 in it with headers coming out of it. And you're talking about something that was impressive. And it seemed like the name of it was the Outlaw. And they did run that on the national circuit, and they managed to bring them in here. And folks, I think they put up an admission gate somewhere on private property. I don't think you couldn't charge admission then to come into a core property.
Right.
And people came up and sat on the hillside all around there at Cedar Hill and watched boat racing all day one day.
Thomas, these were basically what we think of as drag races.
They actually ran in I don't think if they ran in a circle circuit or not. I just remember seeing them, but I believe those may have been the drag race. But now the ones with the outboards, I'm not sure how they ran. Some of them, you know, they ran circuits, kind of like on a dirt track.
Right.
But then some of them did just have, speed it in a set distance. It was a big national thing, and I think Johnny McLaren may have one of the programs.
Well, you literally took the words out of my mouth. I didn't know where I had seen it, and Johnny's may be where I had. I have seen one of those old programs, and it's impressive. It really is.
And there are photos at the library, and there may have been 7,000-10,000 people at Cedar Hill. It was packed. I mean, you couldn't walk or anything. There were so many people sitting on Cedar Hill to watch this. It was gorgeous.
And I think probably some of those pictures may be in the state archives also, Kevin.
Would not be surprised.
I know if any of you ever want to look at some old historic pictures from Clay County, I know Rich has looked at a lot of them on there, and there is a little secret to searching on those things. If you're looking for something particular, you put it in quotation marks. You can do that. You can, even if you think that you have a relative there somewhere or another that has a picture on there, put their name in there in quotation marks, and if it's anywhere on the Tennessee State Archives, it'll go straight through that without getting all the other stuff that goes with it. And I know we have, you know, pictures of the old river boats, and I know a couple of years ago I found a picture of the Ain't It Nice building down here when it had a second floor. There was a basement, the main floor, and there was a building on top of that. And I think from what I've gathered from folks that the building burned and basically ruined the top part, so they just did away with that and re-roofed the bottom part, which was cement block. But, you know, you run across those things, and I know we have people that post some of those occasionally, but anyone that would like to can actually go to the state archives and pull those things up.
Thomas, I can remember, and I cannot recall if I saw them on the Corps of Engineers website or the state archives website, old construction pictures of the dam while it was going up. Much more detail probably than what most people have seen. You know, we've all seen some of the older pictures of the dam, but these are really neat. And there's just dozens or hundreds, I'm at a loss to remember, of those pictures, which are really neat.
I think some of them are at the Corps of Engineers, and I think I have, there are some old 8mm film that has been converted over to video, a film that was actually shot of the equipment up there moving dirt and that type of thing. And contrary to another urban legend, there aren't any people buried in the dam. You know, one of the things that the workers liked to do in those days was when they would get a load of concrete in, they would take someone's boots and turn them upside down and push them down in the concrete. And if somebody happened by, they would tell them, hey, you know, that's Joe Smith. He came in here from somewhere or another and he got caught down in there, and there's where he still is. But it was actually someone's boots turned up. But I know we've all grew up hearing that story, that people fell in the concrete and they just couldn't get them out.
Construction of the dam, of course, not only employed a lot of local folks. That was a big source of jobs for, I guess, a 5 or 6 or 7 year period. But folks came in from all over and moved here while that project was going on, and then some stayed and some went back elsewhere.
And I think, of course, one of the stories there with Dale Hollow Dam was that at that point in time, when it was first planned, Dale Hollow Dam was to furnish electricity for the secret project that wound up at Oak Ridge. That was the plan, but then I think some of the wiser folks in charge kind of thought, well, hey, you know, if we build this thing out at Hillham, which I think was the area they thought, someone might suspect that something's up. So let's move it close to an urban area where it won't garner as much attention. And for that reason, I think is why, but of course the project for the dam went ahead and it was completed, but that's one of the stories. I think I read that somewhere on one of the websites when I was doing some stuff about Oak Ridge.
You know, Thomas, Dale Hall is called the small mic capital of the world, but it's justifiable. Last couple of years, I've done some research and written a couple of stories for an area magazine about that. And according to Bassmaster, which I don't know any other source that would be more reliable, of the top 25 smallmouth bass that have ever been caught in terms of weight, 10 of those have come from Dale Hollow. And the percentage is even higher when you go to just the top 10. If I'm not mistaken, 6 of the top 10 smallmouth bass that have ever been caught, legally anywhere, have been caught in Dale Hollow. And one of those was former Judge Willis Spear. You associate those records with professional fishermen, but Willis Spear, I think, is 6th or 7th on the list with a big bass, you know, 9 pounds or something, just a big one. But it's impressive. Dale Hollow really does deserve the title smallmouth capital of the world.
And I also know that my Uncle Stone B. Morris, who was a guide on the lake for years and years, he actually caught one of those top fish, but as a professional guide, the guy he was guiding for got the way
got
the
credit.
Fish in and got credit for it. You know, that was, and, you know, that's something, too, that sometimes I would like to get one of our older fishing guides on here. I don't know now how many of them we have that are still around. I remember names like Mr. Napier, who came up and guided Clure Spivey. All the stories that Mr. Clure Spivey could have told had we just set someone with him in the boat one day with one of those big old bulky video cameras and just listened to the stories that he told. These were fellows that fished the river as youngsters before it was impounded, and they knew where everything on it was, and and they were what was called old-fashioned fishermen. Ira Barlow,
right.
Some of those names and some of the stories that, you know, that they could tell us about the lake and what they knew about it. And, of course, you hear some of them talk about, you know, that they caught fish bigger than the one that Billy Westmoreland caught, but, you know, they didn't bring it in and weigh it.
Right.
And I'm sure they were quite truthful about that. But, you know, and like I said, so many of those guys now are gone that we missed our chance to get some of the stories. And I do know the style of fishing that they did. Mr. Spivey, he wouldn't fish in a big fishing rig with a big 150-horse motor on it. He wanted his little Cedar Hill 14-foot boat, his little fiberglass boat with no bigger than a 25-horse motor on it. And if you went fishing with him, you need to be ready for a slow day of fishing, because once he got out there, he paddled up and down in the hollers. He didn't have a trolling motor with him usually. He just got his paddle out, and he'd paddle you around and fish with you. Okay, on that note, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back again here just in a few minutes.
Trican Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. Look like we're drawing to the end of this day, fellas. This time has flown today. Seems like we've covered a lot of territory. I need to real quickly, I guess, draw a name out here and see if we can't give away a cake. Looks like Mr. Mickey Clemens has won a cake.
Congratulations.
So if someone will get the word to him that he's won the cake, he'll have a certificate waiting for him over at the Clay County Chamber, and he can go out and pick up that, and maybe he'll give Cherry Ann part of the cake since she made sure his name made it in here. Okay, fellas, like I said, we're drawing kind of to a close, but what else we got here for a few minutes that we need? I know Kevin and I talked last night for a few minutes about a book that was done, and I think Rich may have been here when that was done also, or he may have already been gone. And I think Kevin was working at one of the newspapers, and that was that Western Kentucky sent some students down from a media class, and they kind of followed some, I think they chose, I don't know how many individual students out at the high school. They followed them around for a period of time, taking pictures and getting stories. You know, it may be time we try something like that again, where we put together a book of our own like that. I know Kevin now has the facilities to do that, and has the experience based on being on the one from the beginning a little
that,
bit.
That was a neat project, Thomas. I remember Don Napier was kind of the local contact for that. And by an odd coincidence, some of the folks who were involved in that project from Western Kentucky wound up buying the local paper here a few years later. I guess the seeds for that were planted there. But their base of operation was actually in the old Clay Citizen office just a short ways up East Lake Avenue. It would be somewhere in the neck of the woods where Charlie Gold's got his shop now, I guess, there. Office was located there. But they went out, and the students from Western did. They followed some folks around, and it was a wide variety of folks. We had a high school athlete, I remember. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it was Craig Ogletree. I know Craig was involved in that in some way, if I remember right. And then some older folks, just a real wide spectrum of people who were highlighted. And it was mostly pictures, but there were some words associated with it, but mostly photos, which is kind of Rick's forte. He's done a lot of local photography through the years.
And I would say there's probably a copy of that book probably over in the library now. I'm not sure if there is, but if there's not, we need to round one up and get it over there, don't we?
We do, and some of the best photos I've ever seen of Bud Garrett are in that publication.
Mr. Garrett was one of the folks, highlighted in that.
I know that, and I think, I'm not sure how long they actually worked on that project, but I guess probably an entire semester if I were.
It could have been.
Best photojournalism, black and white photos I've seen of people in Clay County.
You know, like I said, if we don't have a copy of that over in the library, if someone has one that they would like to donate to the library, of course, Kevin, there went to the old newspaper office. Of course, we've had our newspaper here in Clay County forever and ever, and that's something, too, that there are a number of the old Bill Fisk Bugle papers that are on microfilm in Nashville, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, and those things are really entertaining to read. They are. It was a different time, a different type of journalism, more folksy, more homespun than things are today. You know, these stories there about somebody, Mrs. So-and-so visited so-and-so at Butler's Landing, or somebody went to Nashville for a business trip, or, you know, but it's neat to read, and a lot of names in the papers in those days, too.
The ladies at Beach Bethany had a quilting.
Yeah, stuff like that. That was big news.
Yes, it was.
And you got news from all the different little communities around the county.
I don't know if we had a newspaper before Bill Fisk Bugle or not. I don't know.
That's as far back as I can remember now. We've got some folks that might be able to take it back further than that. And we've had a few lesser-known papers back in the 50s and 60s, I guess, and I'm at a loss to even say what they were. But we've actually had a lot of newspapers here for a small community, really.
Seems like Mr. Joe Peek had a paper for a while.
Absolutely did in the 60s.
And I know, who was it, Mr. Nanny. I guess was his paper the beginning? Was it called the Globe or?
There was a Salina Globe. I don't remember who the publisher was, an editor. Yeah, there definitely was.
And well, we're getting wound down here, Rich.
Yeah, I want to make a comment. We've been talking about the newspapers. Mary Lloyd at the museum has a microfiche reader, and she does have the microfiche of the earlier newspapers. And if you have time, go there and look at some of the stories. Our heritage years ago.
Okay, and hopefully somewhere along the line, you know, with all this technology, we've got someone will come up with a practical way to convert that microfiche over to a digital PDF file that folks can pull up on the internet and just read them at their home. With that, you know, microfiche, that stuff's hard to fool with. Okay, folks, at the end of another day, and like I said, I think a very informative and enjoyable day with you guys sitting here with us today, and we've covered a whole lot of things. And going back to former times, I can remember when I was fairly young, and I'm sure, I don't know whether you guys can or not, going to the old Clay Theater, and if you had a quarter, that would get you into the movie. Movies were 14 cents on Saturday afternoon matinee, and that would get you a movie, a newsreel, and a cereal, and then you had 11 cents, and that 11 cents would get you a Coke and a popcorn. and left you with one penny, which you could match with your buddies and try to get a nickel to get you another coat. But we've come to the end of another day here, and I guess we can close that with, may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet again with you here next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock for another version of the Clay County Corner, which is brought to us through the Clay County Chamber and the 3-Star Program. But right now, let's sign off and call it a day.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. This program will be rebroadcast this evening at 6 p.m. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.